So let's get our next storyteller up here. The next one is a business development consultant who moonlights as a playwright, specifically M, A Collection of Mothers, and a documentary production manager on Mark My Words. She also serves as the regional coordinator for the Stillwaters Collective and the Scholastic Arts and Writing Awards competition. So please welcome Deidre Gales. Come on up, Deidre.
After my 9th birthday, my mother died of an accidental overdose. A year later, my father died of a heart attack. I used to tell people he died of a broken heart. It seemed more romantic and less tragic, at least for me. I went to live with my mother's brother and his wife, my uncle and aunt, and they had one child, my cousin Tracy. It was a difficult time for me, but if you ask my cousin, it was just as difficult for her. I mean, she not only had to share her room, her toys, her friends, she had to share her most precious possession, her parents. Now, Tracy and I, we considered ourselves close cousins. I mean, it's not like today where you could text or Facebook or pick up a cell phone and call your cousin, but we were close. We always made sure we were at the same holiday events and we had the occasional sleepover. But this instant sister thing, it didn't go without incident. You see, me and Tracy, we used to throw down. I mean, it was like Ali and Frazier Manila, only these fights, they took place in the Merrill Park neighborhood. My dad would yell off in some far corner of the house, "You all might as well just get along because ain't neither one of you going anywhere." And he was right. By the summer, Tracy and I began to remember that we were family and friends long before my tragedy. She had begun to realize the benefit of having a playmate. I mean, she had to know that playing Twister alone sucked. Right hand yellow, left foot red. There was definitely benefits to having a year-round roommate. By Thanksgiving, Tracy and I had begun to tell people we were sisters. We'd began to find a good flow to this new family dynamic, and we allowed each other the space and the privacy we needed. I would allow her time with her friends, and she would allow me time to mourn for my family. She would learn to turn a deaf ear in the middle of the night if she heard the muffled cries coming from my side of the room. I knew that things were starting to change a little bit because our fights, they happened less and less frequently. And Tracy had promised to show me the secret hiding place for the Christmas gifts later that year. We'd found a way to keep each other's not-so-secret secrets. One day when my parents decided that they were going to go off and do whatever it is that parents do, Tracy and I had a moment alone in the house. She took me to my dad's closet where he kept his hunting gear and his shells for his guns that he kept out in the garage. We climbed over the not-so-fresh hunting jacket and pants, and as we made our way to the top of the crawl space, we lost our light. But Tracy was ready. She had the flashlight, and it illuminated the far corners of the crawl space, and we can see the boxes and the bags and the partially wrapped gifts. We pointed out the gifts that we thought were for us, the tennis racket, the ice skates, the skateboard, that was mine. And then we found the two matching camouflage snowsuits. You see, my dad, he secretly wanted boys, but he made it a point that his daughters knew that we could do anything. All we had to do was put our minds to it. Long before there were billboards and TV ads, he would tell us, "Just do it. You can do it. As long as I'm not paying for it, do it." So we managed to make sure that we put all of the toys back where we found them. We wrapped up the bags that we'd unwrapped. We made sure to crease the crooked fold of the receipts that were taped to the bottom of the Zares or the Target bag. We wanted no traces that we knew where the secret hiding place was. As I was beginning to be immersed into my new family, I noticed that they had different traditions for Christmas. And that was okay, because some of those I was a recipient back when I was with my own family. One of the things that my uncle used to do was he'd come to your house early in the morning with a huge box of fruit and nuts and candies that he'd gotten from the fruit ranch. Some of you may remember the fruit ranch. And so this year, that particular year, my first year with them, I was on the opposite end, and so I got to make these boxes, and I made sure all of my favorite uncles and my favorite cousin, besides the ones that I was with, would get the good chocolates. And we used to fight over those every Christmas. So as he realized that he had an extra pair of hands, my uncle decided that he was going to go out with my other uncle, Marcy, and have a few drinks and play some pool before he got up at 5 in the morning to deliver these baskets and begin our Christmas dinner. I was a little, you know, having trouble dealing with the fact that I was having so much fun and in a moment of happiness while I was still feeling guilt for going through the secret hiding place. I felt like I had dishonored my parents and their memory by not being a good girl. Because good girls don't cheat, they don't look at their gifts, they do all the right things. I went to bed early that night, not because I was ready for the holiday to begin, but I wanted to be immersed in my sadness and not feel like I betrayed my parents' memory. An hour or so into my sleep, I was quickly awakened by my aunt screaming and yelling at my cousin, "Get up, put your house shoes on, put your robe on, you got a visitor. Come on outside." So Tracy and I, we wake up and we go, but as we hit the front door, the gust of the wind brings us full attention. We're awake. And who's standing there but Santa? And so we look at each other quickly, and instinctually we know we got to make sure that we believe in this fantasy to the fullest, because we don't want them to know we found the secret hiding place. And so with our brightest smile and our biggest eyes, we say, "Santa, it's Santa." And we look at each other, and we're all into it, and Santa reaches out to say, "Feliz Navidad Christmas! Qué lindo!" And we know it's just Uncle Marcy. But still, we got to continue with the fantasy, because we don't want them to know we know about the secret hiding place. So my uncle is holding on, and he's teetering back and forth, because he's had a little bit too much to drink, and it's only been an hour since him and my dad had come back. Across the way from us is a high rise, and I can see from different floors of the high rise, the seniors, the building was a senior high rise for senior living. Seniors had started to come to the window because the only time they normally paid attention to us was when we were playing too loud outside. But tonight, they were enamored about what was going on. So I take a quick look at my cousin, who's crying. She's really believing that this is Santa Claus. Never mind there's this black mustache sticking over the white beard. She's falling for it. Tears are streaming down her eyes, and she's caught up in the fantasy once again. Some of the elders have braved themselves enough to come outside and come closer to the corner so they can see and get a better look. Now, in Merrill Park where we lived, on the south side of the street, it's a dead end. It's just an expressway. And the wind that comes off that expressway is warm and balmy in the summertime. It's lovely. You open your windows, you're all happy. But in the wintertime, it's a beast. And as this wind is whipping, it's fluttering the snow that's fallen sometime during my brief nap. And it's starting to whip the snow. And it's almost as if we're in a snow globe. And it becomes magical. And as I look at the elders' faces, I see the smiles that's etched, and their eyes are looking as if they are thinking of things long past. And then I remember, they're caught up in the magic. My cousin's caught up in the magic. I allow myself to be immersed one more time to believe that all things are possible. And yes, even though Santa's slightly tipsy and he's holding on to the banister and he's giving bilingual greetings to all, I realized it's okay. It's okay, and that's all my parents ever wanted me to know, that I can still believe in the magic, because if you can look at an elder's face who's been through so many more tragedies and adversities than I will ever experience or know, it's all right for a child to one more time believe that all things are possible, and I too can be a kid again. Merry Christmas.